From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook.
Today's devotional is entitled Because of Us. The text is Matthew 24, verse 22, "For the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. For the sake of his elect the Lord withholds many judgments and shortens others. In great tribulations the fire would devour all, were it not that, out of regard to his elect, the Lord damps the flame. Thus, while he saves his elect for the sake of Jesus, he also preserves the race for the sake of his chosen. What an honor is thus put upon saints! How diligently they ought to use their influence with their Lord! He will hear their prayers for sinners and bless their efforts for their salvation. He blesses believers that they may be a blessing to those who are in unbelief. Many a sinner lives because of the prayers of a mother or wife or daughter to whom the Lord has respect. Have we used aright the singular power with which the Lord entrusts us? Do we pray for our country, for other lands, and for the age? Do we, in times of war, famine, pestilence, stand out as intercessors, pleading that the days may be shortened? Do we lament before God the outbursts of infidelity, error, and licentiousness? Do we beseech our Lord Jesus to shorten the reign of sin by hastening his own glorious appearing? Let us get to our knees and never rest till Christ appeareth."
Be at morn when the day is awaking, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the
shall see face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace.
Let me meet him glory for glory for glory for me. Glory for me. And by his grace I shall.
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've mentioned Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. In addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Or if you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will conclude the second of two messages entitled, What We Must Learn from How God Blessed Abraham. The text is found in chapter 24, verses 23 through 25. In these verses, the Apostle Paul uses Abraham to illustrate how God justifies sinners. He quotes from Genesis 15, verse 6, where Moses wrote, Abraham believed God, and he counted it to him for righteousness. The key to the passage is in the words of verse 24, but for us also. Dr. Cairns has shown that the ground of our faith is the Holy Scriptures, and that the object of our faith is God who raised Christ from the dead. We've seen that the content of our faith is Christ's death, his resurrection, and his lordship. Then, as a result of that faith, God the Father acts to justify those who believe in Christ. This justification is complete in every aspect. It perfectly satisfies God's law. In addition, all believers are equally justified in God's sight. The message concludes with the admonition that faith in Christ is absolutely necessary to justification. For Christ said, "He that believeth not shall be damned." Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message. What we must learn from how God blessed Abraham.
You are not justified years before you believe, nor years after you believe. You're justified at the point of the first exercise of saving faith. Notice chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore being or having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 5, verse 9. Much more than being now justified. The emphasis that Paul is making here is that when a man believes in Jesus Christ, he is justified. He's pardoned, and the righteousness of Christ is imputed to him. There are people who have been going around in the name of Calvinism, or the Reformed faith, teaching the dogma of eternal justification. We have been justified from eternity. And they go to the eternal purpose of God. Well, we've been chosen from eternity, predestined from eternity. We're justified from eternity. But that's a mangling of terms. I don't know why people want to start inventing new uses for the terms that God has made perfectly clear in His Word. The devil's had a big enough field day trying to bemuse and confound people on the simple doctrine of what it is to believe and be saved. In the Bible, you will find these are contemporary things you believe God justifies. Now, I know that behind all that there's an eternal purpose and a sovereign purpose. And there's nobody more delighted to preach that when it's in the text. But I like the emphasis that John Calvin lived his life by and did all his exposition by, and that is be faithful to the text that's in front of you. Don't pervert it to a preconceived notion. And the constant emphasis of the Bible is, you believe and you're justified. It's not you're justified and therefore you believe. You may say you're chosen and therefore you believe. You're regenerated and therefore you believe. Some scripture for that. But the Bible never says you're justified, therefore you believe. Says you believe, and therefore you're justified. Contemporaneous with faith. Not only so, Paul makes it clear it's certain to every believer. Notice the words that he says, to whom it shall be imputed. Verse 24. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. To whom it shall be imputed. Now I want you to get the force of what Paul is saying here. In English that looks like a simple future tense. But that's not what it is in the Greek text. It's not a simple future tense at all. Grammatically it may be translated, to whom it is about to be imputed. If we believe. And that would simply emphasize what I've been saying. When you believe, it's immediately imputed. But I think there's another element here that's much more to the point. And it deals with this issue of certainty. The Greek verb has in it the idea it is appointed to be imputed. Now we're getting someplace. God has appointed to impute the righteousness of Jesus Christ to every single believer in Him. It's certain to every believer. Oh, understand this. The devil comes to believers and tells them what they aren't and what they are. What he'll try to do is obscure from their vision what Christ is. The glories of the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But get to the Word of God. Do you believe in Him? Is Jesus, who was delivered on account of our offenses and raised again on account of our justification, is Jesus your Lord? Is your faith in Him who died and rose again? Is your faith embracing Him as Lord and Savior? Then God has appointed that the righteousness of Christ must be imputed to you. Certain to every believer. Can I say it's complete in every part? This satisfies God's law. The righteousness of Christ has left nothing undone that needed to be done. Is there any part of it with which God finds fault? Is there any part of it with which God, or about which God may say, there's something yet to do? When Jesus said, it's finished, what did God say? He said, amen, for He raised Him from the dead. This justification is complete in every part because it satisfies God's law. It removes the guilt of our sin. And it delivers us from the liability to punishment. And thank God, this justification is constant and everlasting. There's one thing that is not, well, it's one of many things, not well understood even by Christians. And that is that justification is equal in all believers. All believers are equally justified. The newest believer in Jesus Christ is as well justified as the Apostle Paul was. Justification has absolutely no idea in it of gradation. There's no idea of being more justified or less justified. What happens when a person is justified is that his sins are pardoned. All of them. And all the totality and perfection of the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to him. Now if that happens, you can neither have more nor less. This is what happens to every believer. They're equally justified. But not only so, they are everlastingly justified. Go to Romans 8. That famous verse 30. We'll not take the whole passage. But verse 30. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. You see, here's a justification that leads inevitably to glorification. It is everlasting. I think of the words of Ecclesiastes 3:14, whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. Certainly that's true in that great work, or that great act to be precise, of God in justifying the ungodly who comes by faith to Christ. When God justifies you, you don't need anything more for heaven. Your life of obedience and service, of prayer and Bible study and evangelism and witnessing, giving of your goods and even of your life itself, your love for God, your God-like love for sinners, none of those things adds anything to your standing with God. Oh, those are the natural expressions of having a perfect standing with God. The man who has such a standing with God will have a natural desire to express it in those ways. But we have perfect righteousness. God has done it. He's done it for every believer. And he's done it for every believer for all eternity. Not only can you not put anything to it, but thank God neither man nor devil can take anything away from it. What the Lord Jesus accomplished, he accomplished forever. Satan cannot rob Christ of one iota of what he earned. And all he earned is put to our account. As the psalmist put it in Psalm 119, verse 142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. And that's true not only of the attribute of God whereby he is righteous, but of the righteousness which he imputes to every believer in Jesus Christ. So the result of faith is our justification. A justification contemporaneous with the exercise of saving faith. A justification that's certain to every believer. A justification that's complete in all its parts. A justification that's constant and everlasting. The final thing then that we will say by way of application of Paul's doctrine concerns the necessity of faith. The ground of faith, the Word of God. The object of faith, God who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. The content of faith, the death, resurrection of Jesus our Lord. The result of faith, our justification. Now the necessity of faith. If only believers are justified, then comes in to focus that awful statement, he that believeth not shall be damned. You see, only believers are justified. There's no substitute. I want you to understand this. There is no alternative plan. This is not one of the ways in which God justifies the ungodly. This is the only way God justifies the ungodly. So the imperative need of every man, woman, and child here is to be sure I am a believer in Jesus Christ. That's it. The need of every soul to repent and believe the gospel. Remember that was Christ's first great sermon, Mark chapter 1, if my memory is right, the 15th verse. Repent and believe the gospel. Think of what Paul said. Acts 13, 38, 39. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. That's it. To you is preached the forgiveness of sins. How? By being justified by faith alone in Christ. Now this is the application that Paul makes. See, he's been talking about great themes, great truths. But it's all got to come down to a personal level. Am I trusting in Christ? Have you ever come to the place where, yes, seeing that you're a sinner, condemned, unclean, under the wrath of God, justly, with the law thundering out your destruction, come to that place of recognizing I'm a sinner, but you turn to God who raised his son from the dead, and you trust in Christ and His atoning blood, His mighty victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave, and by faith you embrace Him as your Lord. Have you ever come to that place? There's no other way. That's the only way of salvation, but it is the sure way. There's no possibility of trusting Christ and at the end of the day being put to shame. He that believeth on Him will not be ashamed. Make sure tonight that the application of the truth gets through to your heart. And you can say, as we were singing, my faith has found its resting place. Not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One. His wounds for me shall plead. I have no other argument. I have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that Jesus died for me.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.